is brought to you by Head Start Basketball.
Hey, Hoopheads. Wanted to take a minute to shout out our partners and friends at Dr. Dish Basketball. Their Dr. Dish shooting machines are undoubtedly the most advanced and user-friendly machines on the market, and they truly accelerate skill development faster than ever. Learn more at drdishbasketball.com and follow their incredible content at Dr. Dish B-Ball on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, and YouTube. Mention the Hoopheads podcast and save an extra $300 on the Dr. Dish Rebel, All-Star, and CT models. Also, make sure to check out the new Dr. Dish Home Machine, which is perfect for these crazy times when gyms and schools are closed. Visit drdishbasketball.com for details. That's a great deal, Hoopheads. Get your Dr. Dish shooting machine today.
Hi, this is Sean McDonald, boys varsity basketball coach at University School in Cleveland, Ohio. You're listening to the Hoopheads podcast.
Prepare like the pros with the all-new Fast Draw and Fast Scout. Fast Draw has been the number one play diagramming software for coaches for years. You'll quickly see why Fast Model Sports has the most compelling and intuitive basketball software out there. For a limited time, Fast Model is offering new subscribers 10% off Fast Draw and Fast Scout. Just use the code SAVE10 at checkout to grab your discount, and you'll be on your way to more efficient game prep and improved communication with your team. Fast Model also has new coaching content every week on its blog, plus play and drill diagrams on its play bank. Check out the links in the show notes for more. Fast Model Sports is the best in basketball. This episode is brought to you by the Ready State Virtual Mobility Coach. Dr. Starrett is a movement and mobility coach for players in the NFL, MLB, NHL, and NBA, plus a doctor of physical therapy. Kelly has created a program called Virtual Mobility Coach. Every day, Virtual Mobility Coach gives you guided mobility videos. It walks you step by step through Kelly's proven techniques to relieve pain, improve range of motion, and improve performance. Try it completely free for 2 weeks, and if you decide to continue, you can get 10% off for life using promo code HOOPHEADS10. Visit thereadystate.com/hoopheads and use code HOOPHEADS10 at checkout. Again, that's thereadystate.com/hoopheads and use code HOOPHEADS10 when you sign up to get 10% off for the life of your membership after your 14-day free trial ends.
Hello and welcome to Hoopheads. It's Mike Klinzing here with my co-host Jason Sunkel. And tonight we are jumping on to talk some NBA.
But before Lamar Stevens?
No, not Lamar Stevens, although exciting moment for all Cavs fans. Want to make sure that we haven't done this very much on the show, but wanted to make sure that you were following us on Twitter, on Facebook, on Instagram. We are at Hoopheads Pod on all of those particular social media platforms. And if you're interested in following our other content, you can find that content all at hoopheadspod.net. And we also, this month, are starting to have all of our shows on Nothing But Net on Dash Radio. So if you are looking to catch our shows on a different platform, look for them all on Dash Radio's Nothing But Net. So tonight we are jumping on to pick some all-star teams for LeBron and Kevin Durant and react to the guys that did make the team and react to some of the guys that didn't make the team. And then you obviously had the exciting Cavs game winner. We had a Luka buzzer beater tonight. We've got Melo on fire as we speak. So a lot going on around the league tonight.
Yeah, you forgot about the Timberwolves fire sale in the middle of the season. That's a good one. We get a good topic for us to talk about. So I'm excited to dig right in, Mike. The Timberwolves,
let's do it.
One of the few teams that are worse than the Cavs right now. So I'm excited to talk about them.
Hopefully their new coach, hopefully Chris Finch, will turn them around and get Towns back, and they'll start shooting up the standings.
So we'll dive right in. Now, on a previous show, we talked about the starters. But what we're going to do is I'm going to kind of run through all the players for Eastern and Western Conference, and then we're going to talk about who we are surprised are on the team, who we think got snubbed before Mike and I do our draft. Now, I think it was pretty unanimous last year, Mike, that I picked a better team. I don't know if you remember that, but
unanimous. What do you mean?
It was pretty much unanimous.
Who are these voters?
Well, I mean, there's probably a bunch of dead people voting for me. The listeners agreed
that your team was better.
I believe that I won. I don't think it was unanimous.
All right, we'll post the teams tomorrow. We'll run a poll, see who has the better team. We'll see what we can do.
So the Eastern Conference, the starters are Durant, Kyrie, Bradley Beal, Giannis, and Embiid. The Eastern Conference reserves: Harden, Tatum, Brown, Simmons, Julius Randle from the Knicks, Zach LaVine from the Bulls, and Nikola Vucevic for the Magic. Mike, do we want to talk about the Eastern Conference team first, and then we'll transition to the Western Conference? Does that make sense, or should I just read off all the Western teams too?
No, let's react to the East. The East was, it seems like, if you listen to experts, and I know from my own experience, that picking the Eastern Conference All-Stars was more difficult this year than it was out West. I think out West, you really came down to maybe two or three guys. Here in the East, there's a lot of guys that I think could have claimed one of those last two spots, and it's kind of surprising that they've been left out.
Hey, listen, Mike, I'm telling you right now, I should have bet money on my team, because I hit everyone but one. I was the winner last week. I was the prediction man last week. The only person I missed was Vucevic. I don't think either of us had Vucevic on our teams, right?
No, I did not have Vucevic on my team. So I didn't have Julius Randle. Otherwise, we both had LaVine, which there were a lot of people that left Zach LaVine off their teams when you were looking at some of the media out there.
Yeah.
But to me, I mean, the most surprising guy on this team is Vucevic. You look at his stats and it's fine, but I'm not really sure that. It's not like Orlando's winning.
Was it a position thing, do you think, Mike? Is it a position thing? Is this another thing that the NBA needs to like reevaluate and say, he's making it because he's a center and we need a center?
But they've eliminated that distinction.
I'm not disagreeing with that thought. I'm just thinking, do you think the coaches voted in the sense that they voted for him because he's the second best center in the East? I just think
it's weird that he made it. Now, maybe if Orlando was winning, then you say, okay, we're going to reward a good player on a winning team. But I just look at – if I go through – I mean, to me, Middleton not being on the team is crazy. Like, I just don't understand why Middleton's not on the team. I mean, he's basically a 50-40-90 guy. He's had the ball in his hands a lot more this year. They've kind of taken it – you know, whatever. They've shifted 8 to 10 possessions a game away from Giannis as the primary ball handler and put the ball in Middleton's hands. He's always been a good defender. And I know Milwaukee's had sort of a disappointing season, but they're still first in the Eastern Conference in point differential. And clearly they're not there without Middleton. And I just don't think Vucevic is some overwhelming candidate that I would feel the need to reward over Chris Middleton. I'm stunned Middleton isn't on the team.
I agree.
I read multiple things where people said he's one of the locks as a reserve, that he wasn't even a position that people were debating. And I agree with that. I'm stunned that the coaches left him off.
Yeah, I can't believe it. But I think this goes back to the fact that I think people are done trying to buy
Is it backlash against Milwaukee?
Yeah, I think so. I'm not saying it's right, but I think it's definitely true that it's backlash against Milwaukee. And who knows? I don't know. I don't think Vucevic should be there. I mean, heck, I could make a case that Sexton had a better season than Vucevic. Vucevic is averaging 12 rebounds a game, but
he's scoring like 24 a game. Look, statistically, Vucevic is good. And it's not making an argument that Vucevic isn't a good player. It's making the argument that it seems like if you have two guys who are of similar stature in the league, and one guy plays on a team that's in the upper echelon of teams in the league, and another guy is – now, granted, Orlando's team has been decimated by injuries – And so you can say that whatever success Orlando has had, that without Vucevic, that all goes away. But again, Orlando's what? I don't have the standings in front of me right now, but they got to be what? 10, 11, somewhere in there, 12. And I don't think Vucevic is enough to carry that roster into even probably into the play-in game. So I don't know. I have a hard time with Vucevic being on that team and leaving off especially Middleton. And I look at it and say, I don't know. I think I'd have put Bam on there before I would have had Vucevic or your guy, Julius Randle. Defend Julius Randle.
Here's the reason, Mike. The Knicks are relevant in the New York market.
All right, but does the market have anything to do with whether or not a guy should be on the All-Star team? It shouldn't.
I wouldn't think
the coaches would care. In fan voting, why do the coaches care?
If you're going to make that argument about fan voting, Colin Sexton got more votes than Ben Simmons, Mike, from the fans. Let's back off the fans and giving them too much credit. Let's not do that. But I'm saying the coaches
are the ones that voted for this. It just seems like so you wouldn't think that the coaches, that the market would have anything to do with whether or not Julius Randle makes the team.
I don't know, and I don't know if they will release the voting, right? Will they release the voting? Do they release the voting?
I don't think they do. I could be wrong, but I don't remember seeing it.
I mean, so here's my thing, Mike. Julius Randle right now this season, he's averaging 23 points per game. He's averaging 11 rebounds per game. He's averaging almost 5.5 assists. I think he definitely should be in before Vucevic.
Yes, I agree with that.
Okay, his team is competitive. The Knicks are, listen, at the start of the season, would you said, Mike, that the New York Knicks are going to be a competitive basketball team? I'm pretty sure we both had them ranked right around the Cavs, and you had them lower than the Cavs. I had them lower than the Cavs, for sure.
I had them in the bottom tier. They've been surprisingly competitive,
and I think whether we want to overblow that or not, the fact that they are competitive when no one thought they were going to, and they are the New York Knicks who have been not competitive for years, I think that does inflate his quote-unquote prowess and resume to be in the All-Star game. So that's why I picked him, because I really thought that he was going to get on the team. I didn't think there was any way they were going to let him out.
I'd put Bam in there ahead of him, because I think Bam's a better defender.
Would you put Vucevic ahead of him?
No.
But you would put Chris Middleton ahead of him.
Yes.
Right?
I would not have Vucevic and Randle on the team. I would have had Bam and Chris Middleton on the team.
Okay. It's fair. Listen, like you said, the Eastern Conference was a lot more difficult for them to suss out, I think. So
yeah, there's a lot more guys. I think there was a lot more candidates that were close in terms of whether or not they should make it. So
yep.
To me, those are the controversial picks.
So here's let's just talk theoretical. If there's players that opt out or don't play, the first call has to be Middleton, right?
Yes, I think so. It has to be.
So who's the second call? Bam?
Bam, yeah. I think Bam is the second call.
Okay. Is there a third one? Do we want to name a third one, or are we getting too far into the well here?
I'd say Trae Young's probably the next guy.
Trae Young. Yeah, Trae Young's got to be there.
Sabonis, maybe?
Yeah, I remember Sabonis was, like, the beginning of the year was just on fire, but...
Yeah,
you know.
He's tailed off a little bit, but he's averaging – I got his stats right here in front of me. He's averaging 21.5, 11.6 rebounds, and 5.7 assists. So that's – you know, you're talking about what Randall's doing. Sabonis is right there.
Right there, yeah.
I think part of it, if Indiana had kind of continued their torrid pace that they had at the beginning of the season, but they've dropped off. And so considering they're right around 500, I think that hurt Sabonis' case.
Yep, for sure.
Because I think, thought Indiana was going to be better, unlike the Knicks, who have a worse record than Indiana, but people thought they were going to be terrible. So,
yep. All right. So the Western Conference starters, LeBron, Jokic, Kawhi, Steph, and Luka. Luka tonight, Mike. All right. Amazing. 2-3. Now, here's the stat. I want to see if you can tell me. This is a fun fact. I told Mike before we recorded that I have a fun fact about Luka Doncic, and I want to know if Mike can tell me. Luka Doncic hit multiple go-ahead three-point field goals in the final seconds of the Mavericks' 110-107 win over the Celtics. He is the second player in the last 25 seasons to make multiple go-ahead threes in the final 20 seconds of the game. Who was that other player in January of 2005?
January of 2005. Booby Gibson.
No.
Dan
Dickow.
Nice.
There's a name you never thought
would. Do you know where he went to school?
I probably should know the answer to that question, but I don't.
Gonzaga.
Oh, there you go. I wouldn't even know what team Dan Dickow was on in January of 2005.
No, I would not know that either. I would not know that either.
I guess the crack research team should have looked that up.
We're not paying our research team enough.
It's got to be – he was on – in 2005, January of 2005, he was a New Orleans Hornet at that time. Yeah, okay. New Orleans All Hornet. Right. His career average in points scored, he scored 13 points per game. That was the only year he was ever in double digits. So congrats, okay. Dan. There you
nice
go.
Nice work, Dan. Dan's okay. got a podcast, I think. I forget what the name of his podcast is, but he's got a podcast.
That's definitely a name I never thought we would say on the Hoopheads podcast. Or show, so you know. Anyways, so the rest of the Western Conference, pretty much what we anticipated. You, I think, hit the nail on the head, Mike. I think you got all the West correct.
I believe I did, yes.
Whereas I did not have Rudy Gobert. I don't remember who I had in place of Rudy Gobert, but I was against Rudy Gobert. CP3, PG-13, Dame, Mitchell, Rudy Gobert, Zion, and AD. So I don't remember who I had in place of Rudy Gobert. I'm forgetting now, but regardless, you hit the nail on the head. I don't think that there's not much controversy here. I think pretty much what we expected happened, and I don't know, who are the snubs? Booker, probably. The Booker's been, at least on social media, has been the biggest snub. Like, he's the name I've heard more than Chris Middleton, based on, like, LeBron tweeted about it. I saw Draymond Green tweeted that Devin Booker should have been on the team. I mean, those two guys. Well, I don't know if they have any skin in the game there, but
well, I think it comes down to in the West here. Are you picking between Chris Paul and you're picking between Devin Booker? I don't think both of those guys were going to get on the team, so the coaches selected Chris Paul, who I think probably has a bigger impact on the improvement in the Suns than Devin Booker does.
He's the one pushing for this game to happen, and they're going to make him in. He was going to get in the game whether the coaches voted or not. I'm just saying, like, he's the one. He's got this all the historically black college stuff that's going on in Atlanta. He's kind of seemingly been the driving force behind this. So I think he was going to get in whether the coaches wanted to put him in or not. Personally, I'm not saying it's rigged or anything. We're not talking frozen envelope or
frozen
anything.
Patrick Ewing envelopes.
But I'm just saying, I think he was in. He was going to get in no matter what, my opinion.
All right. Well, I just think you were picking one of those two guys from Phoenix. And so it seems more likely Chris Paul is now a, 13-time All-Star or something, whatever it is. And yeah, I mean, it's totally understandable why Chris Paul was selected. I would not have had a problem with Booker being selected and Chris Paul being left home. But certainly you can understand from a coaching perspective why the coaches picked Chris Paul over Devin Booker. And then the other, I think, set of teammates, Zion over Brandon Ingram. Last year, Brandon Ingram was an All-Star. And this year, he's probably put up better stats. I think he's averaging more points and assists this year than he did last year. But I think because the Pelicans have been underwhelming as a team, and because clearly as Zion has started to come on as the season continues, and just from and I know it's the coaches, so the coaches don't probably care about what fans want or don't want. But I think if you're a coach and you're going up against Zion and you're trying to figure out how to stop this guy, I think he provides a lot more sleepless nights for coaches than Brandon Ingram does. And so to me, that's what it comes down to. And then I guess, I don't know, the other guy that I liked that I think I had on my team was De'Aaron Fox. And I just think Fox is having a really, really good year. And at the time, now Sacramento has lost, I believe, 8 in a row because they lost tonight. And so you go back a week and they had only lost you know, three or four in a row, and they had that, they previously had, I think, a four or five game win streak. But the fact that they've been losing a lot lately probably has dissuaded from any coaches who might have thought about picking De'Aaron Fox over one of these other guys. So I don't have a real problem with the Western Conference team. I'm glad to see Zion in. You clearly want somebody like him in the All-Star game going up and down where you're throwing alley-oops and dunks and all the things that go on in a typical All-Star game. Zion's the kind of guy that you want to see in that game. And anybody who's watched him over the last 2 weeks as they've started to put the ball more in his hands, and we talked about it last week, point Zion and just getting him out on the floor with the ball, facing the basket and running screen roll. He's a problem. He is an absolute problem for anybody trying to defend him. And he's certainly deserving of his first All-Star appearance. And I definitely would have selected him over Ingram at this point.
Yeah, I completely agree. I really think the only snub to me was possibly Booker. But like you said, there's no way that him and Chris Paul was getting in. So that's why.
Yeah, I just don't know who you're pulling. You're either pulling Chris Paul off, and if you're not going to pull Chris Paul off to get Booker onto that team,
you don't have a lot to choose from.
Yeah, you don't have a lot to choose from in terms of who the other guy. I guess okay. Zion's probably the next guy in terms of that hierarchy. And I'd rather see Zion in the All-Star game than Devin Booker.
Yep.
No offense.
So now we're talking. Let's talk Western Conference. I think there are several players that aren't playing in this game, Mike. I don't think AD is going to play in this game. I wouldn't be overly surprised if one of the, like, Kawhi, PG, they don't play in the game, just because of whatever. So that gets us to who are the first calls. I think Booker has to be one of them, right?
I'd say Booker. I think Conley gets a call.
Conley, yep.
I think Conley's second. Not that he necessarily deserves to be second, but I think if there are spots that open up as a result of injury, then it seems like there would be sentimental value in inviting Mike Conley to his first All-Star game. So I would say it would go Booker, Conley, and then to me it would be De'Aaron Fox, but maybe it's DeRozan. I don't know.
Mello. He's playing really well right now.
I don't think Mello's quite at the...
I'm just kidding. I'm still Mello stan over here. Mello stan over here. Anyways.
All right, that's fair.
All right, Mike, are you ready to draft teams?
I am.
Okay, so here's what we're going to do is through the power of the interwebs, I'm currently going to flip a coin, Mike. I'm going to let you call the coin, heads or tails, and then you can decide whether you want the first pick or not. Okay?
That sounds fair.
You can choose to defer or not.
Okay.
And the first pick would automatically give you LeBron. If you take the second pick, you're going to take Durant. So that's how we're going to go. Okay, Mike, I'm flipping the coin in 3, 2, 1. What do you call?
Heads.
It is heads, Mike. So I'm going to let you choose. Do you want the first pick in LeBron or do you want Kevin Durant?
All right, I'm going to take the first pick.
Okay, so Mike's going to take the first pick.
And I'm excited about having the first pick because of what it means at the beginning, but it also what means it means at the end.
Yeah. I know who I'm getting at the end. I know who I am getting at the end. All right, Mike.
You're pretty sure who you're getting?
Oh, I'm pretty certain. Okay.
All right. Sounds good.
All right, Mike. Who would you like with your first pick? So you can pick anyone from the starters that is not named LeBron or Kevin Durant because they have already been taken.
All right. So, man, with the first pick in the draft... With the first pick, man, it just depends on what kind of All-Star game this is going to be.
It is going to use the Ingram Elam ending. We already talked about that. 24 yes. points more than the higher score after the third quarter.
Yeah,
I guess they're going to keep the Kobe thing going, which is fine with me.
Okay, all right. So I'm going to go with I'm going to go with Giannis.
Okay, I was going to say, Mike, if you don't take Giannis. I'd be surprised, but okay, so we got LeBron, Giannis. Okay, so my pick, I got to go with the guy. I'm going with Luka as my next pick.
Okay.
I'm also basing these picks based on who's likely to play in the game and who's not, because Embiid's likelihood to play is probably 50-50. So I would have taken Embiid, but I'm going to take Luka over Embiid. And I'm going to guess you're going to take Embiid.
No, I'm not. I'm definitely not going to take Embiid.
Okay.
I'm definitely not taking Embiid. There's two guys under consideration for me.
Kawhi and Jokic.
When I'm trying to make decisions here, what I'm looking at is I want guys who, let's face it, potentially could be MVPs of this game, right? And that's typically tends to be guys who have the ball in their hands a lot, and also guys who like to score. So the question becomes
Mike, this is going to be a 2-hour draft for a fake fan.
No,
I'll start at the current rate, Mike.
All right, I'll try to speed it up. Give me Kawhi.
All right, okay. So Mike gets Kawhi. All right. I've got my point guard / small forward in Luka. I've got my, I don't know what you call Kevin Durant, power forward, small forward. There's no such thing as, there's no position for him. I'm going to go with, I'm going to go with Embiid, Mike. I'm going to take Embiid here.
All right.
So for those of you following along at home, I currently have KD, Luka, and Embiid. Mike has LeBron, Giannis, and Kawhi. Jokic, Curry, Kyrie, and Bradley Beal are left on the table.
All right, give me Kyrie.
Okay, good. I was hoping not to end up with all the Brooklyn Nets, so I'm glad that's the case. All right. Mike. I'm gonna take Steph, Mike. I'm gonna take him because he could score 25 points in the All-Star game. So I'm gonna go with Steph there. And that would reunite KD with Steph. Now, we did not take into consideration that I don't think there's any way that KD doesn't take Kyrie with his first pick if LeBron doesn't take him. Although that would be the most awesome thing is if LeBron took Kyrie with the first pick.
That would.
LeBron, let's will this into existence. LeBron, please take Kyrie with the first
honestly,
pick.
Honestly, I considered Kyrie for my first pick. I didn't pick him until my fourth slot, but he's a guy who, in an all-star setting, guy who loves to score, a guy who's going to have the ball in his hands.
He's already won an all-star. He's already won an MVP.
Already won an MVP, so I definitely considered him. All right, with my next pick, I'm going with Jokic.
Yeah, I figured that was the case, and I was going to end up with Beal. That's fine with me. All right, so Mike's starters are LeBron, Giannis, Kawhi, Kyrie, and Jokic. My starters are KD, Luka, Embiid, Steph, and Bradley Beal. All right, Mike. I'm assuming you have all the names in front of you for the reserves, right? Okay,
I do.
Sweet.
I do.
Okay, sweet. So you can pick any of these players that are the reserves.
All right. Give me Zion.
Oh, wow. There's zero chance he's the first pick of the reserves, just saying.
I agree. I don't disagree. I don't disagree with you.
Okay.
In an all-star setting, is anybody going to want to get in his way as he goes to the basket?
No.
I think not.
Dame. I'm taking Dame.
Okay. Give me... Give me Ben Simmons.
Oh, that's who my next pick was going to be. Oh, man, Mike. All right. And by the way, LeBron totally takes AD there. Just so you know,
AD's not playing in this game anyway, so it doesn't matter. But
all right, I think with my next pick, I'm gonna take AD, knowing even though he's not gonna play, I'm gonna take AD.
That's fair. All right, I'm going to go ahead and take Zach LaVine.
I don't even know what to say.
You don't know what to say.
This early?
Zach LaVine, you don't think he can be the all-star MVP? You don't think he's going to get shots up and have some ridiculous dunks in this game?
I think there's zero chance he is the all-star MVP. He has the same opportunity to be the all-star game MVP as I do.
Okay. All right. Who's got a better chance to be the MVP, Jokic or Zach LaVine?
Neither.
Embiid or Zach LaVine?
Embiid.
Okay. All right. I'll take your word for it. All right. Here we go.
All right. All right. I can't not take him. We hate him. I'm taking Harden.
Oh, man. Good for you. All right. I'm going CP. Give me Chris Paul.
Okay. I'm going to take Mitchell because I want him and Dame to be on the same team.
All right.
Just see what happens there. I want to see what happens there because I don't think they like each other very much, but I kind of want them to be on the same team. So.
Okay. I will take with my next pick. Give me Paul George.
Which Paul George is going to show up? Pandemic P or...
I don't know. Hopefully it's first half of this regular season, Paul George.
Okay. I'm going to take Tatum with my next pick.
Okay. I will I'll take Jaylen Brown.
I figured that's what you were going to do to me here. Because that was going to be my next pick. All right. Well, so right now I'm left between Gobert, Vucevic, and Randle. Now, I think that I'm going to end up taking right now the guy who had I'm going to take, because I don't really have any big guys, I'm going to take Gobert here. Because if I take Randle, then you're probably going to take Gobert and I'm going to be left with Vucevic. So I'm going to let you choose between the two guys who we think are the bottom players in this All-Star game. To choose between them, Mike. I think I'm going to end up with Randle, but that's my prediction. Go ahead, Mike.
I'll take Randle.
Oh, wow. Okay. I did not see that. That's who I expected to have at the end. So, although I was kind of contemplating not taking Harden and seeing if he was going to be the last pick.
Oh, he was going to fall, trust me. He was definitely going to fall. That's one of the main reasons I wanted the number one pick.
Because he didn't want Harden
just
on your team.
Just assured that I wasn't going to get James Harden on my team.
All right. So the final roster.
By the way, my Harden hatred is just taking on a whole new life.
Why is
it's
that,
just
Mike?
Gone, it's, I don't know. It's just gone to another level. I've just dug in on my position. So when the Nets win the title this year, I'm gonna have to snack on a whole plate of crow. But at this point, I'm sticking.
Or
with,
maybe
I'm
some chicken with, wings at your local yeah. establishment.
Maybe I'm sticking with my hatred. I'm doubling down on it. So
okay,
you definitely will fall into the last pick.
So the teams for Mike, the team for Mike is LeBron, Giannis, Kawhi, Kyrie, Jokic as the starters, and then he has Zion, Simmons, LaVine, Chris Paul, Paul George, Jaylen Brown, and Julius Randle. My team: Kevin Durant, Luka, Embiid, Steph, Bradley Beal, Dame, AD, Harden, Mitchell, Tatum, Rudy Gobert, and Nikola Vucevic. I hope they run out. My lineup runs out, and Embiid, Rudy Gobert, Vucevic lineup at some point during the game. That would be pretty exciting.
You have a lot of depth at center, so good. Yeah, that's good. That's good work right there.
Yeah. And you know what? I will say this, Mike, is I think there's going to be a lot of opportunity with these teams to have some really interesting sports gambling during the All-Star game. Speaking of which, Mike. Thrive Fantasy is a new world of fantasy sports gambling. You can select 10 prop bets that can each carry a point total based on their likelihood of happening. Use promo code HOOPHEADS when you sign up today, and you will receive an instant deposit match up to $50 on your first deposit of $20 or more. And I think it's really important to note that all these prop bets, you're making these picks of these players like this in the All-Star game. Obviously, in the All-Star game, there's lots of All-Stars. You're not making these predictions and prop bets on like Enes Kanter and Derek Jones Jr. Not those guys. but these really awesome players. You can download Thrive Fantasy on the App Store or Play Store or by visiting their website at www.thrivefantasy.com. Sign up and prop up today. All right, Mike.
Nice. Oh, nice. Yeah. Nice.
Yeah. Yeah. So, Mike, that's the All-Star game. Do we think it's happening? At this point, I have to say I think it's happening, much to the chagrin of players. Would you agree with that statement?
Yeah, I do think it's happening, and I do think that once they get there, I think that it will end up being a pretty good All-Star team. I think it's a fun – I mean, I think these rosters are pretty fun. I think there's some interesting things depending on how the teams shake out. I think there's some interesting, as you said, some interesting lineups that can be thrown out there, and I don't know. I just think the talent level in the league right now, you look at that starting – 10 players, and that's a pretty impressive group of 10. Like, there's not one guy in there that you would say, ooh, that guy doesn't really belong as a starter. And there's probably another, I don't know, three or four guys in the reserves that if you swap them into the starting lineup, it wouldn't change the fact that those starting lineups are phenomenal. So it's a pretty good year for talent in the NBA right now.
Yeah, I completely agree. It's exciting to watch, and I'm really excited to dig in. A team I'm not excited for, Mike, the Minnesota Timberwolves. Now, this is just a bizarre situation. I don't quite get it. I can't believe that this all happened. So let's recap. So the other night, I'm going to bed. This is, by the way, so those of you that do not know, I am a teacher. Okay, I'm a teacher, and I teach in Olmsted Falls, Ohio. And on Friday night, or Friday, I got my vaccine, Mike. I got my vaccine, and Friday night I went to bed. I was like knocked out at like 8:30. I think I was just like the vaccine, whatever. That was my only symptom, was I was just exhausted. I slept from 8:30 p.m. like till 9 a.m. the next morning. That's pretty impressive. Would you agree with that
statement? That is pretty impressive. That's pretty good.
And my kids let me sleep. My wife let me sleep. It was fantastic. Well, the next night, because I got 13 hours of sleep and my body's used to getting like 6 hours of sleep, I could not sleep. And I was like, well, I'm going to lay down. I'm going to go to bed. And then all of a sudden, the Minnesota Timberwolves news started happening. The Minnesota Timberwolves have dismissed coach Ryan Saunders, who's the son of Flip Saunders, which, by the way, NBC Sportsnet, you got to get your act together, because they wrote multiple articles that said the Timberwolves have fired Flip Saunders. Dude, that guy's dead. He's dead. It's his son, Ryan Saunders. I know it's probably an easy mistake, but when you put out three different articles and you write Flip Saunders in those three different articles from three different writers, you've got to pay attention. Okay?
Yeah, it's not good.
So I was like, oh, okay. So this was like 11:02 p.m. Then at 11:13... the Timberwolves have asked permission to the Raptors on assistant coach Chris Finch and are proceeding on hiring him as a head coach to replace Ryan Saunders, sources tell ESPN. I did a double take, Mike. I literally did a double take, and I'm like, wait. This guy just got fired, and they're already talking and finalizing a contract? I think that's crazy. And
with a guy who's employed on another team's bench.
Yes, that's the other thing.
Makes it even stranger. And the other thing that it seems really strange to me is typically when you fire a guy during the season, usually what happens? An assistant coach on the current team slides over one chair, and maybe you change some things about what you're doing, but you keep the same basic premise of what was going on before. You give that assistant coach the interim tag, and in all likelihood, you conduct your coaching search in the offseason, and you move on from that assistant. Sometimes, I guess, an assistant might get the job, kind of like what happened with J.B. Bickerstaff with Cleveland. But for the most part, those guys usually don't get the job. But at least you're getting a chance to check things out, and you're not having to completely overhaul the entire system. When this new guy comes in, I mean, he has no idea what was going on before, so he's going to obviously have an idea of what he wants to do. So he's bringing in a completely new offense, completely new defense, and either he has to learn his players have to learn what he wants to do, or he has to learn what they were doing before in order to be able to tweak it. And to be able to do that with, we all know that NBA teams practicing during the season is a very, very rare occurrence. So,
especially in this season where they're running on an accelerated timetable and playing more games in the week.
Right. It just doesn't make sense that you could put in a new system on the fly. And not only that, but now you're bringing in a guy who, I mean, Minnesota, we know, worst record in the NBA. They're terrible. It's highly unlikely that this coaching change is going to suddenly flip the switch. And I know they've had issues with injuries and Towns has been out with COVID and the other things that have gone on. But still, it seems highly unlikely that a coaching change is going to turn this team around where suddenly they're going to creep back up towards the 9-10 play-in tournament spots. So you're bringing a guy into a losing environment who you've now signed to be your full-time head coach without giving him any time to be able to implement his system or the things he wants to do or teach his terminology. And you've just dropped him into this losing situation, which is more than likely to continue. So now you get to the end of the regular season, and I don't know what kind of credibility is that coach built up if he hasn't turned around this losing situation. It just seems like it's a bad move to bring in somebody from the outside in the middle of the season when you just don't have practice time. It's one thing to do that in the NFL, maybe, where you fire somebody and I guess you could bring somebody in and at least have some time in between games to be able to, but it's always an assistant. It's not somebody from outside the organization. And that's what, to me, is the most curious part of this.
Okay, Mike. So I did some research, Mike. There has been 6 times this has happened in NBA history. Okay. One of them happened with the Cleveland Cavaliers back when you were a kid.
That was when Tom Nasalki got fired and George Karl was brought in, I believe.
No. Chuck Daly. Brought in 81-82. In the middle of the season, he was coaching in the Philly 76ers. Do you remember the Chuck Daly era in Cleveland?
I mean, I knew Chuck Daly coached for the Cavs, but it was like...
In the middle of the season.
It was next to nothing, though, right? The number of games that he coached for the Cavs?
41 games.
Okay, yeah. And I guess George Karl was probably an assistant with Tom Nasalki back. That was when they went. I think they started out, they were like 3-18 under Tom Nasalki, and then they turned it around with George Karl and ended up making the playoffs.
So that was the first time Mike it happened.
Okay.
The next time it happened was in 84-85, going from the Kansas City Kings to the Utah Jazz or going to the Kansas City Kings from the Utah Jazz, Phil Johnson.
Okay.
Because Jack McKinney resigned after a 1-8 start. All right. The next time that happened, man, the Sacramento Kings this time. This guy came from the Sacramento Kings, went to the New Jersey Nets, Willis Reed. Okay. So Willis Reed, all right. So that was the third time.
I've at least heard of Willis Reed, unlike Phil Johnson, so keep
going. I don't know who that is. This guy sounds like he belongs on the fashion line. From the Detroit Pistons to the Indiana Pacers, we got Dick Versace.
Dick Versace, man. You don't know Dick Versace?
Oh, Dick Versace. It looks like Versace, though.
It does look like it is it is spelled Versace, like the famous fashion designer, but it is pronounced Versace as far as I've ever known.
Okay. The father of our current NBA head coach, Bernie Bickerstaff, went from the Nuggets to the Bullets. Oh, man, the Bullets in 96-97. There you go. So that, and then the most recent one, Mike. From the Milwaukee Bucks to the Memphis Grizzlies, Lionel Hollins. That's the most recent one before this. So 08-09. Okay. So none of those seemingly worked out to being an NBA championship for those teams.
No, probably not. If you're replacing your coach in the middle of the season with someone from outside of your organization, you're probably not a quality team and you're probably not a stable organization. Let's just leave it at that.
Yeah. So I just thought those were interesting. Just talk about that because it doesn't happen very often, Mike. Anything else on this Minnesota situation?
No, I mean it's just odd. Obviously, you wish this Chris Finch, you wish him well and hope that he can come in and bring something. But it just seems like he's been put in an impossible situation. I mean, it's nice he got an NBA coaching job. There aren't very many of them, so kudos to him. But it seems like he's been put into kind of an impossible situation, because I don't know how you go in and start to put your fingerprint on things when you're not practicing and it's just you're in the middle of the season. It just seems like it's an impossible task.
Yeah.
Hey, hoopheads, we all hate ankle sprains, and they happen way too often. Ankle injuries are the number one sports-related injury. Arise is trying to change that. With the iFast, your athletes get preventative protection and full mobility. Athletes no longer need to wear bulky braces that limit performance and give mediocre protection. Anyone playing sports should be using these products. Keep your athletes in the game. Don't wait for them to get hurt to take action. Visit www.arise.com, spelled A-R-Y-S-E, and use the code HOOPHEADS to get 20% off the future of performance. That's A-R-Y-S-E.com with promo code HOOPHEADS to get 20% off.
All right, we're back, and now we're going to talk about the big three, Mike.
the big three?
The big three. So we got three players who are seemingly on the move. We've highlighted to Blake Griffin, Andre Drummond, and now Boogie Cousins is going to join that group. These three guys are all seemingly going to be on the move. It seems like Drummond and Blake are going to get traded possibly, and then today, DeMarcus Cousins, or I should say yesterday, because it's now past midnight, DeMarcus Cousins was waived by the Houston Rockets. So my question, Mike, is where do we think these players are going to go? Now, I know you have a pretty lockstep with the Boogie Cousins situation, so let's start there. You think he's going to go to...
I think he's going to go to Brooklyn. I texted you that immediately as soon as I heard the news that they were going to release him, although there's been some Lakers buzz because he was with the Lakers last season that maybe the Lakers would bring him back, which I guess could happen, could make sense if they had a good experience with him last year. I still think that Brooklyn is in the market for a center. Does Boogie fit necessarily what they need? I'm not sure. Is he really any different than DeAndre Jordan, who they already have on the roster? Maybe there might be.
I think he's better than DeAndre Jordan, Mike.
Look, I'm just saying he doesn't. Does he provide any meaningful difference to DeAndre Jordan?
No.
He might be better. He's a more skilled player than DeAndre Jordan, but he's so compromised at this point physically because of the injuries that I just don't know. I just don't know if he brings them what they need. Now, again, is there anything on the buyout market that could bring them what they need? I don't really know. I don't really think so. But Boogie's certainly a skilled guy. He's certainly a guy who could potentially contribute something to you. I would say more offensively than defensively, which leads you to believe that maybe he's not the best, because really Brooklyn needs a defender at that position. But I don't know. For some reason, I just feel like it just seems like a Brooklyn move that Boogie ends up there. So I'm going to stick with Boogie to Brooklyn, and I'm not sure he has any real impact long term on whether or not Brooklyn can make it out of the East and win an NBA title.
See, Mike, I am going to go with the other route. I think he's going to end up on the Lakers. I really do. I think he has a good relationship with LeBron and them. He had a good experience with them back last year. They offered him a ring and he turned it down because he didn't play, if I remember correctly. I believe they offered him a ring and he turned it down. So maybe he goes back to actually earn it. So I'm gonna say he's gonna go to the Lakers. And I think he'd be a good fit, especially right now with AD being out, and they could get him and play him, and he would already know the systems, and he could. I'm not saying he's going to come out there and light the world on fire, but I think, you know, is he moving the needle? No, but
he could soak up minutes in a regular season game
for sure. And I think he could play. I won't say meaningful minutes, but I think he could play some minutes in a playoff game too. You know, you ride a hot hand, and if he gets going, then, you know, You let him go do it. So that's what I'm going to say on that one. All right. So then let's transition to Drummond. Now, there's been buzz. I don't know if you've – have you seen the buzz, Mike, that the Mavericks are considering trading for Drummond?
I mean, I heard the Mavericks as one of the teams that was considering making a trade for him. But how real that is, I don't know. I mean, it comes down to what is your opinion of Andre Drummond as a basketball player and whether or not the things that he does – help your team win in the NBA in 2021. And I mean the answer, history tells you, the history of Andre Drummond's career tells you that he doesn't impact winning very much because he hasn't been able to win. He didn't win in Detroit and he hasn't won.
Hey, he did get to one playoff series in Detroit, Mike, where he got immediately swept by the Cavs.
Yeah, but I'm just saying, Andre Drummond does not have a history.
I agree with you.
You're a devil's advocate. You can mess with me. It's all good. But I just don't know that he's a player that tremendously impacts winning. And when you look at, I know his salary's expiring, so basically you're paying him whatever prorated amount for the rest of the year, and then he can be off your books if it doesn't work out, or you have his bird rights if you decide you want to sign him. But I don't know. I just don't know. We talked about it before. I don't know out there what team is saying, oh, we're one big-bodied center away from being able to win the title. I guess if you're thinking that, hey, Philly's at the top of the East and we got to have somebody to deal with Embiid, I think Drummond probably physically has a lot more left in the tank than either of these other two guys, Boogie and Griffin. But I don't know. I don't trust him to play a role on a winning team that is going to make an impact. I just don't think that the things that he does, I just don't think he does them at such a level that it's going to impact winning. And sure, maybe if Brooklyn gets him, now you can throw Drummond on Embiid for however number of minutes during a game and have him defend, and he's going to rebound for you. So maybe that makes sense, but salary cap-wise and what they'd have to give up and figure that whole thing out, I don't know. I don't know what the market is for Drummond. It doesn't seem like Dallas would be a good fit. Why would you want to park Andre Drummond in the lane and clog things up for Luka? That doesn't seem to make a whole lot of sense to me. I know if you're in the West, you're thinking we gotta somehow match up with the Lakers when they go big with Davis and LeBron. You gotta have guys that can match up with those two. But does Drummond really help you in that area? I'm not sure. I don't know. I have a hard time figuring out where Drummond would go.
Yeah, I agree. I don't have any idea, Mike. I really don't. And the thing is, like, trade deadline's just passed the All-Star game. I mean, is he a good player? I think we can say that he's a good player. He averages a double-double. He plays good basketball. But is he just a good player on a bad team? I think the Nets would make the most sense. I just don't know how they work that cap and who they get rid of. Because here's the thing. I think if you trot off a starting lineup somehow, if you trot out a starting lineup of Kyrie, Durant, Harden, Drummond, and Joe Harris, that would be, in my opinion, probably the best starting five in the NBA. Now, you probably have crap the rest of the way. Like, I don't know how you – and I don't know if you can even make contracts work that way. But I think that would have to be an argument for the best starting five in the NBA. And our opinions of Harden aside, would you agree with that statement?
Yeah, Brooklyn's loaded as it is. I mean, I can disparage Harden all I want, but offensively, that team is just ridiculous. And we saw it on their West Coast trip where they went out and swept the Pacific Division. But, you know, so, I mean, clearly, offensively, they're going to be historically good. But people are going to continue to say, hey, can they get stops when they need them in the playoffs? Does Drummond help you to get stops? I guess if you put his big body in front of Embiid, he makes it more difficult. I think the big thing with Drummond, and this would be my question, is he at a point where he could buy into somebody coming to him and say, look, all we want you to do is crash the offensive and defensive boards and play your butt off on defense. And you're not going to touch the ball on offense unless you get an offensive rebound or you're just swinging it from one side to the other. We're not going to run any plays for you, but you're going to do all the dirty work. Does he have the athleticism to be able to do that? Yes. Does he have the ability and nose for the ball to be able to rebound and do that? Yes. But my question is, does his mind and how good he thinks he is, does that allow him to step back and say, look, if I just play this particular role for this team, I can make a difference in winning? I don't think he's proven that in his career, but I'm not sure he's gotten an opportunity to prove it either, because when you're always on bad teams, we all know that even on bad teams in the NBA, especially in the league today, even bad teams are going to score 105, 110 points a game. So somebody has to score those points. Somebody has to take those shots. And so if you put Drummond on a team with Kyrie, Harden, and Durant, there aren't many shots for you at that point. And so can you adjust to that and just do the things that contribute to winning? Or do you pout and sulk and not put your best effort forward in the areas of the game that you really could have an impact because you're mad because you don't get a chance to score? I don't know. I don't know enough about Andre Drummond's mentality to know, but that's what I'd be worried about if I was a team considering trading for him.
Yeah, I agree. We'll see. I think he's going to end up in Brooklyn, Mike. I'm saying that. I think he's going to end up in Brooklyn. Okay. All right. And I don't know how they make it work, but I think that's where it's going to be. Okay. Last one, Mike. Blake Griffin. I'll tell you what, I don't have any idea where he's going to end up. I have not seen any rumors about Blake Griffin. I have not seen anything. I don't even know where a good fit would be for him right now with his huge contract. That's the big problem that they have, and they owe him next year. Whereas Drummond at least is an expiring. Blake's a contract that isn't going anywhere next year. So,
right, you have him on your books. So I heard two places, but again, I don't know that either place is even possible in terms of getting rid of the salaries that you have to get rid of in order to be able to bring Blake Griffin onto your team. So the only way I think he ends up with either one of these teams is if Detroit ends up buying Griffin out. And I'm not sure what the advantage necessarily of them buying him out. I guess you get whatever amount you're under his complete salary in the buyout, but whatever. If you buy him out, the two places that I heard were the Clippers and the Bucks. Now, I think it's so hard to analyze that because in your head, you're hearing the name Blake Griffin. And if you're at all like me, you're picturing not Blake Griffin of 2021, you're picturing 2016 Blake Griffin. So you're like, man, why? Yeah, of course, man. Clippers should add Blake Griffin. Man, if the Bucks could get Blake Griffin, that would be huge. But yet, you're not getting peak Blake Griffin. You're getting a guy who is, at this point, a shell of himself. But yet, there's something about that says to me that as Blake's game has changed and, you know, he hasn't dunked in a year, so he's not a high flyer anymore, but he has developed the ability to shoot threes and he's still a good passer. And passing is one thing that doesn't go away despite your diminished athleticism. I'd like to see him end up in Milwaukee just because I think Milwaukee has been scuffling this year and they're still trying to figure things out, and I'm not sure that their bench is good enough. Now, history says that Blake Griffin's probably going to get hurt or that he's going to continue to produce at a level far below what you would hope based on his pedigree and his name. So it's probably, in all likelihood, no matter where he goes or if he goes somewhere, in all likelihood, it's a completely meaningless transition or transaction, and he's not going to have any impact on anything. But part of me would like to see him end up on Milwaukee just under the sheer idea that he gives them some more depth. I think when you play Giannis at center, you could slot Blake maybe at power forward. So your front line now becomes Blake, Giannis, and Middleton. And then in your backcourt, you go DiVincenzo and Jrue Holiday, which is an interesting closing five. But again, this is still me in my head picturing Blake Griffin as something that he isn't anymore. So,
Mike, mark that in the comment. You and Blake Griffin have dunked the same amount of times in the last year in an NBA game.
That's right.
There you go. Congrats on that.
That's good. That's good. I'm really jumping now at age 51. I'm like Marcus Johnson.
Yeah. Yeah. That was an awesome video. I'm glad I shared that with you. I'm glad
it's funny. If you haven't seen that, Marcus Johnson is now, what was he, 65?
Yeah.
65, former player for the Clippers, if you're young and you may not remember him, but he played he's from UCLA and played in the league for, I don't know, 15 years probably, played for the Bucks, and he goes out on his birthday every year and attempts to dunk, and this year he turned 65 and still able to dunk. So kudos to Marcus Johnson for pulling that off.
Yep, it's pretty, pretty impressive.
For sure.
Do you know what else is impressive, Mike? Our sponsors.
Hey, coaches, parents, and group leaders. I want to introduce you to our newest sponsor, SnapRaise. SnapRaise is the nation's largest digital donation platform built to help teams, youth groups, and clubs raise money quickly and efficiently without selling products. SnapRaise builds your group a customizable campaign website, and students use their mobile devices to connect and engage with their biggest fans. My son's high school team used SnapRaise this season, and our team raised all the money they needed to fund their season, and then some. Getting SnapRaise started is quick and free. Just visit SnapRaise.com, and you'll get connected to a local SnapRaise expert in no time.
All right, we're back to talk about our biggest winners and losers from the week. So we're going to start with our winners, and we're going to start in the Eastern Conference. The Brooklyn Nets have won 7 in a row, sweeping the Pacific Division. And I don't think you and I, we've talked enough about Brooklyn tonight. We don't need to talk about them anymore, unless you have something you want to add, Mike, other than they're playing impressive, right? We agree with that.
Yeah, I mean, it's pretty impressive to go out west and win some of those games without Durant. And Harden, as much as we want to disparage him, has at this point seemingly bought in of being more of a distributor than what he certainly has been in the past few years with Houston. And we know he's a really good passer. And I'll freely admit that he is an outstanding regular season player. But until he gets it done in the playoffs, I'm ready to move on. I just – Brooklyn, whatever. Until they prove it, I got nothing to say.
All right, Milwaukee's won 3 in a row. They're playing pretty well. Once again, they're 19-13, so I really think, Mike, that comes into play too, because I think that with the Middleton, going back to the Middleton conversation, I think the reason that Middleton wasn't even like thought about is that team has not lived up to expectations this year, and I think that hurt him, whether right or not. That's what I'm going to say on
There's an interesting piece to this. So I've read a couple different things and kind of been watching a little bit, and everybody kind of knows, I think if you listen to the podcast all the time, that for whatever reason, I have a little bit of a soft spot for the Bucks, and I really like Giannis, and I've kind of been rooting for them the last couple of years in the playoffs, and obviously they haven't been able to get it done. And I think one of the knocks on this team has always been their coaching. And although Budenholzer, when he came in, made a nice difference from what they were previously doing under Jason Kidd, and he turned it around and he got their defense up to a level that it had not nearly approached when Jason Kidd was the coach. But Bud's reputation is a guy who is pretty rigid and doesn't make adjustments in the playoffs. And so I think what we've seen is that the Bucks are trying to make some adjustments in the way they defend and trying to mix up some of the different ways that they play out on the floor, whether how they're defending the pick and roll instead of just having Brooke Lopez always drop back into the paint. They're just trying to mix up and do some switching and do some things that they haven't done in the past. And so that could have something to do with their uneven record. What I will say, and I still maintain that Middleton's the biggest snub, but what I will say, to me, the most encouraging thing that I have seen related to the Milwaukee Bucks is I was looking at Giannis's splits. And I kind of keep a close eye on probably his box score, maybe as close as an eye on his box score as anybody in the league. And over his last 10 games, he's shooting almost 74% from the foul line with a high number of free throws shot. And he's up to, I think, 65% maybe for the season. Let me see. Yeah, he's at 65.4. But like I said, in the last 10 games, he's shooting almost 75%. If he could get to be a 75% free throw shooter, that makes a huge difference for Milwaukee, because it also opens up his ability at the end of games to go to the basket, and teams, if he's going to hit 75% of the shots, teams are not going to be looking to foul him on purpose. Whereas if he's down in the 60, 58, 60% range, now when he goes to the basket, why wouldn't you just wrap him up and make him go to the line and make two shots, especially in pressure moments where he may shoot an even lower percentage? So that to me is the most encouraging sign that I see from the Milwaukee Bucks, is Giannis's free throw shooting. Because if that continued to plummet and go in the wrong direction, which it has been trending through the last couple seasons of his career, if he can turn that around, to me that makes a huge difference in what the Bucks can do in the playoffs. So that's the one thing that I noticed that jumped out at me when I was looking at Milwaukee stats and kind of where they are. And I know they've won 3 in a row, and before that they had lost 5 in a row. So they've been really, really up and down. But I still think that this team's starting five is really good. They're going to have to figure out, either get better production from their bench or find somebody on the buyout market that can maybe give them something that they don't have on the roster right now.
Yep, I agree. I can buy into that. All right, so the other, the Heat have won 3 in a row. The Heat are rising. And like that, that was pretty good, right?
Heat are rising. I like that.
The Heat are rising. They're up to the 10th seed, so like we anticipated, they were going to get back in. But I think the one that we really need to showcase here is the Wizards. Now, they got blown out tonight, but they had won 5 in a row going into tonight. And they had been dead and buried, essentially. You know, some would argue that they were dead and buried. They're only a game and a half out of that 10 spot, and the Wizards still have a shot, Mike, with as bad as they've played. They're 11-17, but they still have a shot. So it'll be interesting to see if they continue this good play. Now, obviously, they lost tonight, but we'll have to see. We'll have to see what happens with them.
I mean, that once you get past the first three teams in the East, then you have Indiana at 15-14. And then you drop all the way down from number 4 to the Cavs at number 14. And the Cavs are 5.5 games back of the 4 seed, which obviously you'd have to leapfrog 10 teams. But it's just everything is bunched up. I mean, all these teams that are in this mix, I mean, clearly I think Toronto and Boston probably are better than these two teams, better than the rest of these, that next tier of teams. But neither one of them has really played like it, although Toronto's been better as of late. But Boston has stunk, and Kemba Walker is not the Kemba Walker that Boston was hoping that they had traded for, whether it's due to injury or age or whatever it is that's affecting him. He's not the same player, and Boston's struggling. But then you throw the Knicks, Bulls, Hornets, Hawks, Magic, Wizards. If you want to throw the Cavs in there, fine. I think that all those teams, I mean, I could make an argument that any of them could finish in those 7, 8, 9, 10 spot, and any of them could finish in spots 11 through 14 too. I just don't think there's much difference. I do think the Heat is going to continue to climb, and I anticipate them getting at least to the 7 spot at the worst. And they could even maybe surpass Toronto and Boston as things move on. But between the Knicks, Bulls, Hornets, Hawks, Magic, Wizards, I mean, throw those in a hat and just pull them out. That could be the order. I have no idea what's going to happen with any of those teams.
All right. So as far as the Eastern Conference biggest losers, we avoided having to talk about the Cavs because they won tonight. So they were obviously the biggest losers. They had lost 10 in a row. Everyone else, there's no one that's lost more than 2 games, so I don't think we're going to spend any time on those, Mike. Do you have anything?
No,
you...
free fall on the Cavs, and they're a long way from being a competitive team, and they have some team-building issues to figure out, and at this point right now, if you're a Cavs fan, you're just already starting to cross your fingers and get your lucky rabbit's foot ready for the lottery and hope that you can hit it big and get Cade Cunningham or get Evan Mobley or
who?
One of these Evan Mobley. That's the guy from USC.
Is that Katino Mobley's son?
It is. Well, maybe it is. I don't know. But he's a guy from USC. So that's about the extent. I just named the only two college basketball players I know.
Yeah, I don't know anything. I haven't watched any college basketball. I did watch the OSU Michigan game. I did watch that.
You sent me a text about that game. So
it was a good game. It was a really good game. It was a matchup between the 3 and 4 ranked teams in the nation.
I was stunned by the way that Ohio State was ranked number 3 in the country. I had no idea.
Yep. All right. So as far as the Western Conference, there's not a lot of like winning streaks going on. We got Phoenix has won 3 in a row. San Antonio's won 2 in a row. Listen, I feel like we have not talked much San Antonio this year, but I'll say this much. I still think Greg Popovich is the best coach in the NBA. He's doing well with what he's gotten. I think you have to make the argument that he's the best team. Like when you look at this team, you got to wash LaMarcus Aldridge. DeRozan's DeRozan. DeJounte Murray's played okay. I mean, he's played, but that team's just overperforming because I didn't have them even in the playoffs. So they're 16-11 so far. Obviously, they're not a team that I would really be afraid of in the Western Conference, but they're probably, I think there's zero chance they're not in the, at least a play-in tournament to get into the playoffs. Would you agree with that?
Yeah, I mean, they're overachieving based on what people's expectations of them were coming into the season. And a lot of that, I'm sure, has to do with Greg Popovich. He's proven it over the course of his career. I wouldn't be afraid if I was any of these other teams that are sort of surrounding them. I don't think Denver, Portland, Phoenix, Lakers, Clippers, Jazz, none of those teams are going to be afraid of playing San Antonio in a first or second round series if they were to get there. But it's an impressive feat that San Antonio is right now sitting sixth in the West ahead of the Denver Nuggets and ahead of the Dallas Mavericks, which are probably two of the teams that many people had finishing in the top four heading into the season. So the fact that San Antonio is ahead of them is impressive.
Yep. Okay. And then the other teams, we don't really have anyone else on a winning streak, but on the losing streak, we've got some real bottom feeders, Mike. We got Sacramento and Houston have both lost 8 in a row, and Minnesota has lost 5 in a row. We've talked about Minnesota. We don't need to talk about them anymore. Houston, we've also kind of talked about with the whole Boogie situation. That team's kind of plummeting big time.
Since Christian Wood went out, they just have collapsed, basically.
And Sacramento, what is this team, Mike? This team, it's kind of bipolar almost.
I don't understand. I don't understand Sacramento. Like, I think De'Aaron Fox is really good. I think Buddy Hield is a really good role player. I mean, I think he can do things that could help. I think Buddy Hield, I think if you pop Buddy Hield onto a good team, I think Buddy Hield would be a valuable, valuable player for a contender. And it feels like they should be better than what they are. Harrison Barnes is a competent professional basketball player. Bagley was the number 2 overall pick. And I know he's been disappointing and hasn't been able to stay on the court, but it just feels like, and Halliburton, I think Halliburton had 23 or 25 tonight. He had a really good game in a loss. And he's been he would probably finish first or second in the rookie of the year, probably finish behind LaMelo. But I mean, he's been really, really good. It feels like they have some good parts and that the parts don't add up to a complete whole. And is that coaching? Is that culture? Is that just we're in Sacramento and we haven't won in a long time? We don't know how to do it. I don't know what it is, but something is amiss. Something is amiss with the Sacramento Kings. I just don't know what it is. I'm not close enough to the situation to be able to figure it out. But it just seems like their parts don't equate to a better than what they are.
Yep. I don't know. I think they're bad, and that's all I'm going to say on them. They're terrible. They're terrible.
Okay.
Cavs are better than them, Mike. I feel comfortable with saying that.
All right, maybe. I mean, I don't know what. Would you trade rosters? Would you trade the Cavs roster for the Kings roster?
I think it's apples and apples. I think they're both terrible. I think if the Kings were in the East, they probably would. I guess I should be fair. I think if the Kings were in the East, they'd be more competitive.
I agree. I think the Kings are better than the Cavs, but that does not, by any stretch of the imagination, mean that they are good because they are not good. They are definitely not good. But there's some pieces there that lead you to believe that they could be or should be better than what they are. But obviously, that hasn't been the case. Yeah. Did you know that Jabari Parker is on the Sacramento Kings?
I didn't know Jabari Parker was in the league.
It says he's played in two games. Now, maybe he's no longer on the active roster, or maybe he got hurt. But just looking at I was pulling up their stats, and he has played in two games. You know who else is on the Sacramento Kings?
Who, Mike?
Hassan Whiteside. Did you know Hassan Whiteside was on the Sacramento Kings?
No.
I had no idea.
This sounds like the Renegade group right here.
I'm telling you, I had no idea he was on the Sacramento Kings. Yeah. So, anyway.
All right, I don't have anything else tonight, Mike. Do you have anything else you want to share?
No, I'm just looking forward to the actual NBA All-Star Draft conducted by LeBron and Kevin Durant. There's always at least one good-natured barb that is tossed back and forth at someone, and it's always interesting to see how the selections go and who ends up with what and where. So that will be fun. And otherwise, just continuing to watch games and see how things develop and watch, can the Lakers – we didn't talk at all about the Lakers tonight, but they're obviously without AD struggling a little bit, and LeBron's been leading the league in minutes in February, and he is continuing to just stomp and demolish Father Time. So kudos to LeBron for beating an undefeated team, but – I don't know. I just don't. I mean, when LeBron has to play 43 minutes to get you into an overtime against the 11-18 Washington Wizards, and then you don't win that game, seems like an awfully big workload. And I know LeBron sort of poo-pooed that today or yesterday in his quotes and just said, I'm not concerned about that. My availability is important to me and my team, and I don't really care about minutes. And that's what you want to hear from a player. I mean, if I was playing, that's how I would feel. I'd want to play more minutes, not less. But it's just interesting that here's a guy who, at his age in year 18, is leading the NBA in February in minutes. And I don't think he's leading for the season. But, man, it's incredible. It continues to just amaze me what he's been able to do at his age in year 18. All respect to LeBron and what he's doing. He continues to be amazing.
Yep, I agree. And, you know, this is another feather in his cap, Mike.
No doubt about that. He's still never going to get to Jordan.
Uh-huh. All right, I think that's a good point to end the episode,
still,
Mike.
Yeah, still never going to get there. The GOAT still will remain forever and always number 23 in a Chicago Bulls uniform. But kudos to LeBron. He's amazing. He's fantastic. And what he's done is, it's just unprecedented. So congratulations to LeBron. Again, just to wrap things up, please check out some of our Hoopheads Pod Network shows on Dash Radio's Nothing But Net channel. All of our shows will be up there this week. So please check those out. Please follow us on social media. Again, we're Hoopheads Pod on all the major social media outlets, Twitter, Instagram, Facebook. Please follow us. Subscribe to the podcast wherever you get your shows, and we appreciate you listening, and we will catch you on our next episode. Thanks.
Thanks for listening to the Hoopheads podcast, presented by Head Start Basketball.